It's my joy to invite you to open your copy of God's perfect, precious word tonight to Psalm 113. Tonight we're continuing the series that we've had that isn't really a thematic series or through a specific section of Scripture, except that we are using Sunday nights to preach something that's from the readings for the week and the five-day reading plan. And if you don't have a currently have a reading plan, I'd encourage you to jump in. You'll be able to see, based off of tonight's psalm, where we are in that plan. We have some available up at the ministry hub. But it's a great way to be able to just work through the text of Scripture in a year. Now, we didn't plan these specifically to be little miniature series, but it worked out that way. We had 3 weeks back-to-back in Exodus. And then last week, if you were here, you heard Pastor David referring a lot to Psalm 111, preaching a sermon through Psalm 112, and tonight, here we are in Psalm 113. Tonight, I want to call you to praise the gracious God that we have. And tonight's going to be a little different because, well, for one, you probably noticed the sermon has begun earlier in the night than you expected, but we're dividing up the sermon. So there'll be a first part, and then later in the service there'll be a second part. By now you've probably found it, Psalm 113:1. I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's perfect word. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with the princes of His people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we ask You tonight to draw our attention to You. Help us, let our minds be set on who You are. Fill us with joy over Your glory, and fill our mouths with Your praise. Let us open our mouths in praise to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I am a dad, as you know, and if you don't have small kids in your house, there may be things about the child experience now compared to when most of us grew up that have changed that you may not be aware of. And one of these things, on rare occasion, it's only actually happened a relatively few times, that my kids have been exposed to a commercial. I grew up, we saw commercials all the time. My older brother, who still to this day doesn't sleep much, would wake me up on Saturday mornings before 6 o'clock. And he would get me out of bed, and we would go down, and we would watch the color screen. You know what I'm talking about? The one that is on TV before the programming is on. People in here would know this. And we'd watch until the first Saturday morning cartoon came on. And then at that point, it was scattered throughout these cartoons. There were commercials trying to get us to want something. To want something that is perhaps not all that much fun, but you wouldn't know it from the commercial. You go to the stores and you see the box of the game and the unrealistic expressions of the kids playing with these toys as if it's the best thing in the world. And so I have to get my kids, when they have seen a commercial a few times, because if they're watching KET, there are no commercials. And if they're watching a show from, it's live streaming on the internet, they don't get to see any commercials. So when they have seen, I've had to help them understand, kids, this is not authentic. These people are not truly raving about this because it is the best. They're getting paid for this. Now, they do hear radio commercials. In fact, I've had them answer. We're driving down the car, driving down the road in the car, and it says, do you have a job? No. Do you have $100? No. Do you want a car? Yes. Like, they're listening to the commercials, you know, the ones we're talking about. But on the TV, I have to tell them, look, people are getting paid for this. Now, what's really special, what companies really want, is for people to, without that incentive, love what they're experiencing so much they talk about it. That is priceless. Now, when we talk about the praise of our God, that is authentic. That is real. For generations and generations all over this planet, you have people who have been raving about the goodness of God, and it's totally appropriate. Tonight you hear in this psalm a call, praise the Lord. Rave about Him. Tell people how wonderful He is. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. It's repeated. It's a triple call to praise God. And the whole psalm ends as well. Once again, praise the Lord. There is no punctuation in the Hebrew, but it is totally appropriate. In fact, it would be inappropriate to try to write this in English without exclamation points. Praise the Lord. Now, if we have trouble praising God, what the wrong way to say, okay, we need to think about praising God is to fixate on our praise and say, okay, am I praising? Am I praising enough? Like, do I have in me the praise of God? Like, what do I need to do to praise? That would be crazy. That's like if you've ever had this situation where for some reason you start thinking about eye contact. Like, am I looking at the person's eyes enough? Maybe I should be looking more at the person's eyes. That's the worst. You're going to be unnatural. Or if you have a middle schooler in your house. I have a middle schooler. Middle schoolers are awkward. I started to think about my middle schooler and thinking, she's it. This is a new stage. I hope she gets this ironed out. I went to the sixth grade orientation. They're all that way. They're all that way. And if you try to tell your sixth grader, you try to help them through this, and you say, hey, we're about to go in a building, whatever you do, don't be awkward. That's the setup for more awkwardness than you've ever seen. Right? Instead, think about the other person. And if we're trying to praise God, what we need to do is we need to draw our attention to who He is. We need to think about His character, who He has been towards us in action. That will cause us to praise. And that's why He says, praise the name of the Lord. Now, every time it says Lord here, all caps Lord, Yahweh. This is the covenant name of God. And often when we hear this name spoken about, we hear it spoken about in terms of what it means. I am that I am. What you also need to think about every time you hear this name is the context in which it was given, which was a God saving His people. He was about to deliver His people from slavery. It is a name that is tied. It's impossible to separate it from the covenant God has with His people, from God being the Savior God. And so here when it says, praise the Lord, praise Yahweh, praise the one who is the covenant God. Praise, O servants of this God who has saved His people. Praise the name of the Lord. And it says the name, it's not just talking about that name, Yahweh. It's talking about the character. Praise Him for who He is, who He has been to us. We use this way of talking about name when we say, He makes a name for Himself, or to have a good name. It has to do with reputation. It has to do with our character. And it's the same with God. The name of the Lord represents who He is. So it's appropriate that He says, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I love how Pastor Nate just led us together with Randy in singing this song. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's quoted from the book of Job. If I were to ask you, who separated from this? Who in the Bible is blessed? Who is blessed in the story of Scripture? We would start to list people who God blesses. We would think about perhaps David and how he was blessed by God, or of course of Abraham, who heard the blessing and had his name changed to Abraham, and was promised land and to be made into a great nation and all of that. We might think of different women in the Bible who were blessed by God. Mary, blessed by God. We might think of these people. So what does it mean if we say that God is blessed? Blessed is just different pronunciation of blessed. Blessed be the name. Okay, God blesses these people. Is somebody blessing God? No. I guess by way of analogy, if I were to want to play violin, I use this with some kids I get to do a devotions for some kids each week. And a couple weeks ago, I was trying to help them understand this idea. We're going through the ABCs of God. I just chose some different characteristics of God. God is almighty. God is blessed. What does it mean that God is blessed? Let's say I wanted to play violin. And I said, I need help because I don't know how to play violin. And Thomas Walter said, here, let me help you. And after a couple of lessons, I'm struggling. I say, Thomas, I can't figure this out. Would you show me? And he says, I don't know how to play violin. I'm not going to have any more lessons with him. Because for him to be able to give knowledge, for him to be able to deliver to me expertise in the violin, he's got to have it first. If I'm short on cash, and I need to borrow, I'm not going to go to the kindergarten classroom. They don't have cash to give. Most kindergartners don't. For God to be able to give blessing, it makes sense that He is the source. So for example, if God were to give us, if we go to God asking for joy, it makes sense that God is forever joyous. If we look to God for peace, and He is the Prince of Peace that gives peace, it makes sense that He is forever the source of peace in Himself. That we can experience love from God because He has love within Him. So therefore, there has never been a day before peace. There was never a day when there was not joy. There was never a day without love because there's never been a day without God. And He in Himself and who He is the blessed God. David reflects this in the prayer that he prays after the big offering that people give for the building of the temple. And he says, blessed are you. And he continues to talk about yours is the kingdom and the power and the majesty. Yours is everything on heaven and earth. And he speaks how He's the source of all that we experience that is good and right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When? From this time forth and forevermore. He will never cease to be that beautiful, glorious God that He is. We've been saying this truth every morning this year, yesterday, today, and forever. And that's true. He is good forever. He is loving forever. He is the same and He is blessed. So we will never grow old. We'll grow tired. We will grow old. We are growing old right now. We will never grow tired of praising God. The praise of God will never become cliche. It'll never become something we move on from. Think about marriage. In your marriage, in marriages across the world, there are marriages where, you know, the guy says to his wife, after so many years, almost every single night, "I love you." Does she ever say, "I know you told me that. You told me that years ago. You don't need to say it." No. And he never gets, "Okay, I need to move on." Right? A guy filling out a Valentine's Day card is not going to sit there and say, "Huh. Nope, I've already said that. Nope, I've already said that. I think I've said it all." No, he's saying it because he feels it. He needs to say it. It's still true today. And it's the same with our praise of God. We praise God because we feel it. We need to express it. And that's never going to stop. Isn't that wonderful? 10,000 years from now, if you are in Christ, you will still be in Christ and you will be with Him, and you're not going to be moving on to something other than the praise of God. You're still going to be expressing, "God, you are great." You're still going to be enjoying who God is from this time forth and forevermore, never growing old. Well, if that's the when, there's also the question of where. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. This is saying more than just from the first moment of the day to the end of the day. This is saying from the far eastern horizon to the far western horizon, everywhere, from horizon to horizon, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And in this statement, there is implied all languages. Have you ever heard someone just praising God in a language that you don't understand? And yet you do understand because you know they're talking about the same God who you love. You can hear in their voice their exuberance over God. It's implied all languages, all settings, the rainforest, the desert, the islands, everywhere, and all styles. Several years ago, we had a conference. We have the two international student conferences a year, and one of them, it was hosted this particular time for Christian international students primarily and people who work with them. And we were over at a place called Refuge in Louisville. And it's in a neighborhood that has been settled by immigrant communities for many years. And so within just on a walking distance, you can go and see, oh, there's a Cuban bakery. Here is an Ethiopian coffee shop. It's such a diverse place. But while we were having the conference, there was a church group that was preparing for worship the next day because we were there on a Saturday. And it was a church that worships in Swahili. And it would definitely get your attention. I wish you could have heard it, because almost every, they must have all been jumping in unison. Just exuberance, jumping up and down, which was the style. It's the style. And praise God. Like, God should be praised in all cultural styles of the world. And so let's be reminded, don't ever look down on anybody's expression of worship to God. Right? If they're worshiping God in praise and they're dancing or motion, great, praise God, lifting hands still, all styles everywhere, all languages, all settings, from horizon to horizon. So why don't we see? If this is a call to praise God, we should ask the question, why don't we see the praise of God? In certain settings, it might be because the gospel isn't known. They don't know how great God is. So there the solution is, let's praise Him. Let's Praise Him by sharing the message of the gospel. Let's rave about His reputation in the form of missions, sending people to share this good news. Or what about when praise isn't happening where people do know the gospel, or most personally with us? Well, it's because the gospel is known, but it's not being thought of. Our minds are fixated elsewhere, where we have our minds set on other things. And so just as I said earlier, let us turn our eyes to God. And that's what we're going to do right now as Pastor Nate comes up, and we're going to be led in song, singing of the greatness of God. And we're going to continue this worship service, thinking about the goodness of God. And after several minutes, we'll continue this message. We continue, Psalm 113. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high and looks far down on the heavens and the earth? So we saw first, praise the Lord always and everywhere. And now praise the Lord who is high. He emphasizes how God is high above all nations, even after He's just said from horizon to horizon. And one thing curious about this way of talking about God as high, is that it works in every language I can think of. I asked, in preparation for this sermon, I texted Nimish, and I asked about the different Indian languages he knows, and there's more than one of them. And I asked Lilong about Chinese, and I asked my wife about Romanian. And I took a poll just to make sure I was right on this. And everybody asked Mika about Japanese. Yes, in all these languages, which is really curious if you think about it, because a lot of other things don't translate like that. For example, I've heard a pastor talking one time about a Bible verse that was where something was broken, and then he said, you know, we use the same terminology when we talk about a horse and we talk about our hearts being broken. I'm thinking, I think that's only in English that those things correspond. You might think that, you know, everybody all over the world, the husbands say to their wives things like, come here, sweetie, sugar pie, honey cakes. You know, in English, we use a lot of dessert language, like sweetness, right? Ukrainians don't, right? A term of endearment for a Ukrainian man to his wife is my little fish. Right? Different languages, different categories, but high being used to talk about authority, like a high-ranked official or top-tier management, or that's pretty much universal. All over, languages everywhere. The international event, the Olympics, you see the gold medals up higher than the silver, and then you have the bronze. We all use this kind of terminology to understand superiority. The Lord is high, high in authority, for one. He's high, the Most High is one of the names used often of God in the Bible. God Most High, the Lord Most High. Daniel uses it to refer to the one who is the authority above all other authorities, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The one to whom all nations will serve. The one who's been given power and dominion and glory and majesty. We think of Him as the Most High when it comes in terms of glory. And in fact, that's where the psalm goes next. The Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens. I have the joy of trying to, from time to time, explain the gospel, explain the Bible to people from other languages, trying to help them understand things. And that's actually a really good stretching experience. And I would encourage you, if you don't have something like this, look out, look for cross-cultural friendships. Another great way you can experience it is to be in with the preschoolers and try to explain in simple language the concepts you talk about all the time. For example, glory. What does it mean? What do you mean, the glory of God? Well, think, how would you describe glory? We have an idea, but trying to put it in words is a whole different story. How do you define glory? One thing I've said, it's what makes you say, wow. Right? Or John Piper says it's God's infinite worth. He tries to put it in words like this, going public. It's when who God is shown, right? The glory of God. Wow. Who he is, just majesty. There's so many beauty. There's so many different angles we could try to get at it with. But the whole point is that his glory is high. So we ask the question, who is like the Lord our God? Well, who could you compare? We sometimes have comparisons. This morning I had college students write, just as an icebreaker, on their name tag, write somebody that somebody has said you remind them of. For me, it happens almost every single month. Many times, more than once a month, people will say to me, has anybody ever told you I can finish the sentence? I can finish the question. Has anybody ever told you you look like Woody Harrelson? I hear it all the time, right? Now, if you've never thought about that, well, now maybe that's all you'll see. All right. So we have something to remind people of something. Perhaps, it would be wonderful if people were reminded of God by us in some way. We call that being godly, right? But no matter what, that's just one aspect. Maybe some part of our character that is reminding them of, oh, this is the work of God in their life. Godly. There's no way we would ever be like God in all the ways, because there's so many ways that it would be impossible for us to be like God. All-knowing, all-wise, perfect. The distance between us and God is tremendous. My friend Tony, I used to share the gospel, and he would use his hand motions. And I was on a mission trip with him, and Pastor Jeremy, who's down in Madison County now. And he would say, before I became a Christian, I knew I had problems, and I knew that God was good, but then as I started to hear the Bible, hear more about God, I recognized how much greater he is and how much worse I was. And even with his hands, he's showing a gap that's growing. But that gap is nothing compared to the real gap. You know, the truth is, none of us understand the kind of gap. The Bible expresses it like this. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so, God says, my thoughts are above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways. The greatness of God, the power of God, the goodness of God, all of who he is, the glory of God, is high. And it doesn't even say as high as the heavens. It says high above the heavens. See, Pastor David has challenged me in Bible understanding, trying to work through a text, to ask this question, how do we get this wrong? One of the ways we all get it wrong is none of us understand how high God is. Right? There has never been any theologian ever, think about this, nobody has ever overstated it. It's impossible to overstate how high and glorious God is. We all don't understand, even when it blows our mind, it's that much more. It's like trying to get our mind wrapped around the scale of the universe. We just can't. We do our best, and it's even beyond that. Well, it's the same. God's goodness is even beyond that. It's like when you go in Kentucky and you go over to Natural Bridge and here you are, and maybe you climb and here you are at the vista there, you're on the bridge and you're able to look, and you're like, wow, I'm so high up. look at how far I can see. And it's impressive, and I love it, and I don't get tired of it. I go there almost every year with students. I also go to Mammoth Cave, and I could give the tour of the Mammoth Cave thing. It's a bunch of rock, you're underground. But above ground, I don't really get tired of. It's beautiful, it's glorious. However, I'm from Colorado. And as wonderful as this is, I grew up where I could look out the back of our house. We'd be out playing in the backyard, and there's Pikes Peak. I would just see Pikes Peak. And if you go up, later on, my parents moved not far from the Rocky Mountains. So if I was visiting them, 45 minutes, I could be up in Estes Park, another half an hour drive, and in the summer only, because they're closed at nighttime, you get to the top of the continent. Now that gets a new perspective on Natural Bridge. Nothing against Natural Bridge, right? But then looking outside of an airplane window, well, that's completely different. See, however high we think God is, it's all the more high above the heavens. The psalmist is trying to emphasize this as he says, "Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth?" He is the one who is high, immeasurable greatness, immeasurable greatness. Now, what does he do with all of that highness? What do we see the glorious Most High God doing? Verse 7. He raises the poor from the dust. You hear this? Because he was sending us in a direction that makes us think, God, high, so far, different from us, so, so exalted. We might get wrongly a view of God that is far and remote. But he is the Most High God who stoops low. And he lifts the poor. He raises the poor. He lifts the needy. It's amazing. The powerful of this world among people, the rich of this world, have no time usually for the needy and the poor in any kind of a personal way. But this is one who, he doesn't send people to make sure that it's taken care of. No, he lifts the needy. He raises the poor. He gives attention to the needy and the poor. So many of the powerful of our world would say, well, there's this that's below them. And is it below God? Yes, all things are below God. He's above it all, and it doesn't stop him. He doesn't consider it below him. He scoops up these with love. And where does he find them? He lifts up the poor from the dust, the needy from the ash heap. This is dirty work. This is not beautiful. It's not aesthetic. It's not a beautiful picture. We just had the lofty view of the heavens. Now we have the ash heap. But yet that's what God does. He is a God who descends, and he raises them to sit with princes, with the princes of his people. We praise God when we speak to him of his goodness, when we say to him how he makes us feel, what he makes us think about with his goodness and what he's done for us. But we also praise him when we speak about him. And when we share what God has done through his grace, and that's what we call this. We're praising the Lord who is gracious God. And we speak about what God has done and how he's changed our yesterday, that this is the ash heap that we created for ourselves by our sins. And this is how God has showed us mercy. And this is the new today that he's created for us in Jesus Christ. And we now have a hope that's going to go on forever and ever. Then we are showing on display the goodness of the character of God. We're raving about Him before people. That's all you can. That's what you can think about as your testimony. And it doesn't have to be your whole salvation testimony. It could be any aspect of how God has given attention to your life and how God has shown you love and care. And as we together do that, a whole church family sharing the goodness of God throughout this city, Ashland, shows the glory. We're praising God before people. And when all of the sister churches and all of the Christian community, everybody who knows Christ is raving about Him, people hear an amplified witness over and over again from different directions, different people in their life saying, "This is God. This is who He is. This is how He is wonderful. He's a glorious God who stoops low and gives attention to needy people." We get to rave about Him, praise Him as we share our testimony. There was a testimony we just heard, a testimony from thousands of years ago, read by Sydney as she read a prayer. It's a prayer about God, really. She prays and states this poetic, beautiful prayer. And actually, verse 7 and 8 of Psalm 113, I don't know if you caught it, but it's actually plagiarized. It's lifted. The psalmist didn't come up with these words. He took them from Hannah's prayer. It's exactly what she says. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from ash heap, from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes, with the princes of His people. This Hannah, this woman who could not have a child and was desperate before God, wanting to have a child. This woman of a poor family from the mountains of Ephraim, who prayed and God answered and God gave her, opened her womb and gave her a son who became, his name Samuel, who was the one who anointed Saul and anointed David and said, anointed him as king over his people. And it's fascinating that Hannah prays, ending her prayer with a promise of a king. Did you hear that? Let me read it for you again in case you didn't notice it. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them He will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to His king and anoint and exalt the horn of His anointed, of His chosen one. So we see another prayer in the Bible by another woman with a miraculous birth. This is Mary. And Mary sings a song in a song because it's so poetic. She speaks out. There when she's with Elizabeth and she speaks out about what God has done, and it mirrors really closely what we hear from Hannah. And it's the sending of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here He is coming. He has stooped low. The one who is most high is being born to live among us. It's His grace. And by that action of grace, He wins for Himself people from every tribe and tongue. People who are partakers of His grace. People who have experienced the goodness. Personally, they've experienced the goodness and the love of this Most High God. And some of those people from every tribe and tongue are here in this room. North Americans, East Asians, Romanians, who have experienced God's grace. And together, they've become people. We have become people who praise God. And we don't praise God just describing one who is far off. We praise one who has personally lifted us up from the dust. And He has given us a forever future. Yesterday, today, and forever, we will rely upon the name, the blessed name of the Lord our God. And we will never get tired of saying His goodness. Let's pray to Him right now, this great God. Heavenly Father, thank You for how good You have been to us. Thank You that You have given attention to us, even though You are so great. And though You have created such a vast universe, what is mankind that You're mindful of us? But thank You that You're so mindful of us, You sent Your Son. We will never stop saying how good You are. Let us tell it before the peoples of this world. Let us tell it to the end of the age. Amen.